something this morning?
Yeah.
I hope so. And if you're not, you come to the right place to get it. His love is mine this morning. Many as He loves, and I'm one of them this morning. Let's sing that. One of them. There are people almost everywhere. You go around the world, you travel. Appreciate your prayers last week. We were in Las Cruces, New Mexico for the convention there, and I can't help but I keep hearing these songs in Spanish. You might want to get used to that, Brother Isaac. Where are you? Brother Isaac, are you used to that? Going on his first missionary trip to Mexico soon. But you know, the family of God's big all around the world. Their hearts are all aflame, and I'm glad to be one of them this morning. Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame.
The name of Christ, the one.
pledge allegiance to the land with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command.
Let's just put everything aside. Lord, we love you this morning. I know we had the memorial yesterday for our sister, but you know, death is a kind of a mystery to most people. Yeah. Even some of you here today, it still holds that, just that mysterious.
Sure.
Because there's a veil, there's a gulf. It separates us. That's the way it is when we're separated from God. There's a gulf. And we were once separated as human beings when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and it separated us. And we couldn't find our way back. That's how it is when you don't know Jesus Christ. See, you're separated, and there's no way to cross that chasm, that great chasm there. My son Earl went yesterday to the funeral of Colton's, a friend, a neighbor, and a military man, and they're Mormon by faith, and they had an all day long a service that they have, and that's their way of doing what they do. Every faith, every religion has their way of trying to get you from here to there.
Yeah. Yes.
I got news for you. No religion. This church cannot get you from here to there.
That's the truth.
No religion. Not Muhammad. Not Buddhist. Not the hundreds. Not whatever. There's no religion that can get you. It takes a personal, individual relationship with Jesus Christ to get from here. Man couldn't get there. That's why when John saw that, he wept. I'm not going to keep you standing long, but this is, to me, it's an exciting thing. There's no mystery from the living to the beyond. Not for a believer. We have, it's been revealed to us. Oh my, what a consolation. And now you may have a revelation of that, but do you have one of what it takes to get from here to there? And it's not way out there somewhere. It's right here today. You're just it's a one. When you move fast enough, you'll move from this dimension to that one. If you have representation. And it'll move you from this one to that. Otherwise, you get hung in that regions of the lost. And you can't get from there, neither can you come back here. There's no body to come back to. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Somebody told me the other day, well, you know about that cremation stuff. I said, cremation don't matter. If cremation would matter, we'd have the word on it. Everything that the bride needs, we got the word on it. They wonder. I was listening to some great ministries the other day, Benny Hinn and some of them talking, and they said, you know, imagine now, what do you think that we're going to do when we get beyond this and go there? And how do you think? And the guy said, well, I think what we do, we're this and that. I thought, oh, if I could just give them some revelation that I have. But you can't do that. I can't give you the revelation that one day Jesus died on the cross for you. But it's no mystery. The things that are revealed belongs to us. The things that are hidden belongs unto God. Everything we need is in the... We have... We are that. I wanted to just hear those words again. This. Chilly waters. That's where Sister Cordelia walked through. She just kind of just, it was just a, it was like stepping in a little water puddle. Wasn't no big ocean where she's out there lost on the sea somewhere, struggling, trying to get. It was just like a few little water puddles, not like crossing some great big river, not for a believer.
No.
Just like when Peter, he said, well, Lord, if I could do that walk, he said, just come on.
Yeah.
One day he'll say, when she sat down on the couch, he said, come on.
Yes, sir.
Today's your day. You're going to get promoted. Oh, my. It's not no... No, it's a little sad for us because, hey, we got to go this next week, get on the plane, fly there, go. But we got work to do. And while the harvest is great and the labors are few, you keep everything in prayer. There's, while we're here, there's hundreds of things going on around the world. Great things are happening. Great things. Souls are coming to Jesus. I'm glad the call is still going out. You say one day it'll shut off. It will. But that's not our job. Shutting it off is not our job. Our job is to cast the net. Thank you for your prayers, support. I'm going to ask Brother Brian is going to come and speak for us in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm thankful to have the family of the Curtis family and all those that are part of that, part of us. We're part of that family too. I believe we're one body, one in Christ. And I'm glad to be able to laugh when people laugh, cry when they cry, feel, and to be part of the body of Christ. What a wonderful thing. God bless you today for all of you that's come, all of you that's here. Look around and see the different ones. We're just glad to have you. Glad to have my daughter with us here this morning. Come spend a few hours with us, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad for all the little things God does for us in our life, aren't you? Let's just put everything aside now and ask the Lord Jesus to help us this morning. I want to make sure I have that representation to take me. Then it's just like a little a water puddle. You ever just take a little step? Somebody else, you ever walk where you didn't know how deep the water was? Yeah, it's dangerous. You know, I'd get me a stick. We're up in the mountains and you better not just walk off into something you don't know what it is there. You'll be with your waders over your head and drowning. So you get you a stick and probe out. Listen, we got the Word of God for the hour. You don't need no stick probing. That's what religion does. It probes around like that. I can confidently, you could blindfold me. And you could tell me, oh, it's an ocean, you're going to step off. And then you can see the enemy gives you that in your mind. But I know with confidence. You say, okay, can I go now? Yeah, you can go. I just walk. Because the water is not an inch deep. I got the revelation of the Word of God underneath me. And I'm on Christ, the solid rock. I stand all other ground in the sinking sand. God bless you today. Let's sing that verse of that song. Let's just listen to the words. Now let's put everything aside. We change the order of the service. Ask Brother Brian to come and just in a minute. We're just going to sing whatever. I mean, he just speak to us whatever is on his heart. Amen? One day, we'll all get there. Don't you just love that? See, your brother's with you this morning, Anna. Nice. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh,
Hallelujah. That song has more in it than you know. Jesus had a remembrance with those nail scars even after God had healed him. The greatest form of healing is raising from the dead. Recalls to me a time when we had a man come into our church who his heel had been cut off. He had gangrene in his foot. At the VA hospital, they told him on Monday, we're going to take your leg off, possibly above the knee. He came. He was a Pentecostal man. Didn't come to our church regular. He came with a friend once in a while. But he had a need. Yeah. After the service, we laid hands upon him. God healed him. This man was a diabetic. He had worked all day long with a screw stuck in his foot when he was carrying down a house. Didn't know it. Until he got home that night, his son had to cut his boot off. He went to the VA hospital. They cut away. They cut all three layers of skin. They cut the muscle. They cut the tendons. They cut the cartilage. They cut it all down. And after the service, I saw that it was down to the bone, gangrene all around the foot. But the next day when he went into the hospital, not knowing if he'd have his leg cut off or not, they opened up the bandages. They had a sister that had bandaged him back up. And there was nothing wrong. Praise he had a little scar about the size of my little finger.
Hallelujah.
God had grown back tendons, cartilage, skin, everything.
Amen.
He went back to his Pentecostal church. They said, well, Jesus didn't do that because if Jesus would have healed you, you wouldn't have that scar. I told him, I said, well, then go tell your friends that God didn't raise Jesus from the dead because he had nail scars after a resurrection.
Amen.
Sometimes God leaves a scar in your soul, in your heart, of things past to remind you of the saving grace and the blood of the Lamb. Let's bow us in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your divine presence. We love you, Lord, with all our heart. Father, we just pray that we would die daily. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not me that's living. It's Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God. Help us, Father, to enter into that same revelation. As you said to Moses, speak and go forward. And Brother Branham said, if he hadn't put his foot into the water, nothing would have happened. He spoke the word and then he stepped into the same word he spoke and he became that manifested word. Help us, Father, as your bride, to step into the word which we believe. We hear it, we receive it, we speak it, and we step into it. We hear it, we recognize it, and then we act upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, just going to take a little study this morning on being conformed to the image of the eldest son. And Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Verse 28. To them who are the called according to his purpose, and for whom he did foreknow. So we ask ourselves, okay, foreknow, that's in the past tense. God knew before the foundation of the world. Paul takes us here to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, where he says, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Notice, before the foundations of the world, he predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So here we're looking at foreknowing in before the foundations of the world, when God was selecting us out for adoption, at that very same time, before the foundations of the world, over here in Revelations, the song we sang about the Lamb.
Amen.
He predestinated the eldest son and a vast family of brothers to be the bleeding, dying Lamb.
Yes.
Now you say, well, why is this? You see, because Brother Branham said, as in the spirit of adoption, he said that when the eldest son comes to a place where he's always about the Father's business, and we know that Jesus Christ was, he said the Father takes him up to a high place, and we know in Mount Transfiguration God took him up, before witnesses of the Old Testament, New Testament. And God robed him and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in," as Brother Branham put it. "Hear ye him." And Brother Branham said, then God stepped back because his Son now became the living Word. You realize, brother, sister, that when the prophet of God recognized Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10, and he stepped into that, he became Revelations. He became Malachi 4. He became. You see, you can't, until you step into the promise God has for you, until you do that, it's just a mental recognition. You see? God has made promises for us. In Ephesians 1, he said we are to be predestinated according to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. We are to be adopted. But Brother Bam said you can't just... And to be adopted, Brother says you have to have the Holy Ghost. Because you have to be born into the family first. And then when you're the right kind of a son, then God will positionally place you in the family. So we're going to look a little bit this morning about that conforming to the image of the firstborn son. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now I know that there are some who don't like the word predestinate. I heard Jimmy Swaggart one time say, "Oh, that's a terrible word." I said, "Well, if you take that out of the Bible, you know, you have a holy Bible, but it's not spelt with an H."
Yeah.
You know, it's got a lot of holes in it. Okay. But notice, predestination is like this. A farmer plants a wheat seed. He knows that all the germ in that wheat seed, all the DNA in that wheat seed is going to produce a wheat. Now there are summer wheat, there's winter wheat, there's spring wheat, whatever. There's different types of wheat. But he selects the type that he wants to plant for the soil that he's got. Like out here you have good potatoes and those kind of things. All right. And so he finds the soil, he sees the soil, he plants this specific seed. That seed has everything in it that it will ever need for its journey. All it needs is water. And we know what the water represents.
Right.
You see? Now, God doesn't predestinate your sin. He predestinates the seed. You see? And the seed will... Whether it's like Brother Brown drew a diagram, he said there's two types of Christians. He said there's one who is always up and down and up and down and up and down. Because, see, they're not looking at the end of the road. Then you have the other Christian who looks at the end of the road and he's just stuck on the end of the road. He's always looking at the end of the road and therefore he doesn't have all those up and downs, up and down. Oh, he might have some. But not like the other type.
That's right.
But they're both going to make.
There you go.
Those brothers of Joseph that hated him so much, they sold him into slavery.
Come on.
They're going to be there.
Yeah.
You know that? They're going to be in the New Jerusalem. That helped me a lot, brothers. That's helped me a lot. To realize that, look, God makes us all different. Some see things a little bit this way, some see a little bit this way. But the fact is, we have the same Father.
Come on. Yes. Amen.
We have the same eldest brother and a vast family of brothers. And it's just us learning to die to ourselves that we can be reborn. Because Brother Branham said, unless you die first, you can't be reborn. You see? It's just common sense. So Paul says, moreover, whom he did predestinate beforehand, then he also called beforehand. And those whom he called beforehand, then he also justified beforehand. And whom he has already justified beforehand, them he also has glorified already in his thoughts before the foundations of the world. In fact, Brother Branham even went a step further. He said, what you are here, he said, is only a reflection of what you are somewhere else.
Amen.
Amen. Now that's why the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 1:35, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world," or in his presence, "then in love he hath predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." So not only did he choose us or select us out while we were yet in him before the foundations of the world, but he selected us out also, he foreordained our end to to be adoptable sons. Conform to the image of the uniquely born Son, the firstborn Son, Jesus. So He predestined our path to that very conforming to the image of the firstborn Son. Now, in his message, Spoken Word is Original Seed, paragraph 83, Brother Branham says, all of God's sons must be the same. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to a spoken word again, like in John 3, see? To be born of water and Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's redemption. Yes. Yes. And I'd like to add this. Where were we at the beginning? The way that God saw us in Himself before the foundations of the world. Holy and spotless in His sight. Then Brother Branham says, see, that's the reason of Christ's death. It brings us right back again to where sons of God. As I mentioned, that song about the Lamb was just so touching because you see, Jesus not only died to redeem us, not only died for our healing, not only died for our salvation. But as the eldest son, when he was adopted, he was given 50% of everything that God... That's why the Bible says that he became equal with God. He is co-equal with God because as the eldest son, he could write his name on the checkbook.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Everything God had was his. And God stepped back and said, hear ye him. Now, the problem that we face is that when the father would pass away, then the other 50% of the inheritance would be distributed to the other sons. But we have a father that's the only immortal king. He can die. So the Lamb that was predestined to be slain before the foundations of the world. The same time, in the same thought, when God was predestinating us to adoption, knowing His own law of adoption, and He couldn't die, He had to figure a way that us could be joint heirs with Christ. So Jesus went to the cross, not only with your redemption, not only with your healing, not only with your salvation in mind, but that you could share in the other 50%, in the 50% inheritance. Therefore, we become joint heirs.
Amen.
I love it. You talk about an older brother that is worth just that, to be conformed to him. We saw it in Brother Branham. Brother Branham was so conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Many people thought he was. Now, how many people think you are? All right. Now, listen. When you're born again, you receive the Holy Ghost, you're a baby in Christ. When you receive your body change, your placement, your adoption, is when you're a fully mature son in the image of that firstborn son. Every one of us here this morning are somewhere between here and here, if we've been born again.
That's right.
Somewhere between here and there. I love the way I saw Brother Justin's family. The way they have 9 kids, and each kid has an assignment to watch over the next one down.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be among us.
Yeah.
Find someone that maybe needs a helping hand. Reach out to that person.
That's right.
That's your brother, your sister.
That's really good.
Help them walk across that puddle. Help them walk to do this, do that.
Yeah.
See, eternal life
That's right.
is living for others.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you got eternal life, you have the same life that ran through the veins of Jesus,
Amen.
Running through your veins.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Adam said, that's the reason of Christ's death. It brings us right back again to where? Sons of God. He goes on, he says, now this brings you right back to the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. See? Jesus said the same thing. He that believeth in me, the things that I, who I am, what I come for, and the purpose I do, to bring a man back to believe the word of God and take nothing else with it, the works that I do, he will do also. There you are. You know, I don't understand why people think that the miracles are gone when Brother Branham went off the scene. You got the Holy Ghost? How many people in here believe they got the Holy Ghost? The works that I do, he said,
yes.
You will do also.
That's right.
The problem is, we live so under, just so below our privileges.
Yes.
We are sons of God.
Yes.
We're little Messiahs.
Yes.
Speak to this mountain, it'll be moved. Don't doubt in your heart. It's not you doing it anyway, it's him doing it.
Right.
You see, the problem is that we think that we got to do this, we got to do that. No, you got to die. You have one thing.
Right.
You have to die to yourself.
Amen.
And let Christ live your life for you.
Yeah.
That's it. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Not, I was.
Mm-hmm.
We look back at the cross. Well, yeah, I was crucified with Christ. Listen, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And Brother Brown said, he had to die daily.
Yeah.
And Brother Brown said, I have to die daily,
yes.
And you have to die daily.
Yes, amen.
And when you do, you get out of the way, God has a vessel to use.
Yeah.
That's it. Just learn to die to self. I've had young people say, you know, I love this message, but I just can't live it. And I say, of course not. No one can. But he already did. And he wants to live it through you, so just step aside and let him do it.
Amen?
Amen. So you see, God wants all of his children to be like the firstborn son. That is a purpose in having many sons. And we are ordained to be conformed to that image. And since that image was the expressed image of the Father, according to Hebrews 1, verse 3, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, he was the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. You know, there's places where Brother Ralph says, you know, he said, that Jehovah, he said that pillar of fire that followed Israel. He said, that was Jesus.
Yes.
And he said, then that same Jesus entered into Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh? Well, yeah, if the Son is named Jesus, he comes in his Father's name. The Father's name has got to be Jesus, Jehovah Savior. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see, it's the same life.
Yeah. Right.
The life, the fullness. Now listen, we just have it by measure, but he had it by fullness.
Yeah.
Because on the River Jordan, God entered him. And then God left him at Gethsemane. You know, I had a minister one time. I was having a fellowship at Brother Vail's house, and the minister called. He wanted to argue. And Brother Vail said, well, son, I don't argue with people. He said, you can talk to my friend Brian. He gave him a telephone number, and he hung up. I'm like, well, thanks a lot, Brother Vail, you know. So a couple of days later, the guy calls me to my house, and he said, well, Brother Branham was wrong when he said that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. And I said, well, brother, where did you get your vindication from? I said, I know he was vindicated. Where'd you get yours from? Well, he said, well, what I mean is there's no Bible for it. I said, if I can show you a Bible for it, would you believe it? Oh, yeah, if you can show me the Bible, show me where God left Jesus and get something, I'll believe it. And I said, well, Jesus on the cross said, my God, not myself, myself. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The word forsaken means totally abandoned.
Yes, yes.
When Jesus was raised from the dead, he said, go tell my brother.
Yes.
I've got to ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, brother, sister, look.
Yeah,
if we could just understand that relationship that God had with the Son,
yes,
like Brother Branham did.
Yes.
You know, it took a prophet of God to show us John 5:19, where Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him to do. He said Jesus had to have visions. God showed him to walk past everybody. There's walk past 300 people, and in the back over there, there's a man laying on a pallet. Go lay your hands on him.
Yeah.
And he bypassed everyone.
Yeah. Right.
All that suffering of humanity because he was obedient to the Father.
Right.
Exact the details. See, Brother Brown said the hat had to be on the chair.
Yes. Yes.
Hat has to be on the chair. So, it's all about, it wasn't about him. He said, Father, my will. So Jesus had his own will. My will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless,
yes,
not my will,
yes,
but your will be done.
Amen.
Did you know that Jesus had to die to himself before he could die for us?
Yes.
You know, you have to die to yourself before you can die for others.
Amen.
And no greater love is there than a man lay down his life for his brothers. Conforming to the image.
Yes.
Not us walking around with nail-scarred hands, long beard, hair, and sandals. No, it's in here.
Yes.
It's conforming to the life.
Amen.
that flow through his veins, flowing through your own. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why I get so excited talking about him.
Amen.
Amen. So we go to back to paragraph 86, Brother Anderson. Why is it not being done today? It's a hybrid, bastard children mixed. It's a mule. It don't know what it believes. A mule don't know what his daddy is, who his mama is. He's no pedigree. There's nothing to him. He's an illegitimate creature. That's the way any person that claims to believe God and don't believe his word will take a denominational creed and breed it with the word. See, you're not of God. You're dead. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. So even the word of God don't even grow. You're just playing the part of the hypocrite. But let's go, let that go for bishop or priest or cardinal, whoever it might be. That's right. It's got to be the word, and you are dead, just an illegitimate child, and God's word, the God part won't grow.
Yes.
You might grow in the same field as we're getting to directly, but you're not sure. But you're sure not in the fold. It won't grow.
No.
See, you can't hybridize the Word of God.
No.
So you see, if God, if we were in God before the foundation of the world, as Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Notice, nevertheless, I'm living. I'm crucified. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I'm living.
Yeah.
But the key is, but it's not me that's living.
Right.
It's Christ
that's
living in me. And the life I'm living in this flesh, I'm living by the same, because Brother Rapp told us faith is revelation,
Amen.
By the same revelation that Jesus had.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what we want.
Yes.
You see, until the bride recognizes she has a promise for her specifically to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, to be a manifested son of God,
Amen.
To be an adoptable, a placed son.
Yeah.
Those are three great promises for you and I. But you know what? We can talk about it all day long and it'll never happen.
Right.
You've got to recognize it, act upon it. You've got to step into that word or the water will never part, as Moses.
Right.
Hallelujah. You've got to recognize that's for me. I am who he's talking about.
Oh,
I am adopted son. I am an adoptable son. I am being conformed to the image.
Yeah.
And all I've got to do is like he did. In Gethsemane, Father, not my will.
Amen.
Not my will, but His will. Thy will, Father, be done. In Colossians 3:1, we read, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ who is, not will be. When Christ, who is our life,
Amen.
When He shall appear, when He shall manifest in His true character, then shall you also appear. Then shall you also manifest in your true character with Him in glory. Now, you know what that word glory means? You know, we always think of glory as being some great thing, whatever. The word glory simply comes from a Greek word doxa. You know what that means? It means the opinions, the values, and the judgment of God. So when we receive a glorified body, it's a body commensurate with the opinions of God, the values of God, and the judgment of God. That's why Jesus says in John 17 and verse 20, He says, Father, I would that they will be one as you and I are one. In the same way, you and I are one, that they will be one. And He says, and Father, I have given them thy glory that they might be one. I've given them thine opinions. I've given them thy judgment. I've given them thy values. And what father doesn't want his child to have the same values?
Yes.
The same opinions? Right. The same judgments? He's our father. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
That means that we must come to the place where we are willing to die to self.
Yes.
We must come like Jesus to the place where we are not trying to dodge the new birth, but we are willing to surrender ourselves to it. So it is not what you do, but what you just surrender yourself to. Brother Brown said in Hebrews 7, part 2, he said, God takes men and makes them different, not man taking God and becoming different. God takes men and makes him different. It's not what you do, what you will, what you think. It's what God does.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's all about Him. From his sermon, "To Whom Is the Arm of the Lord Revealed?" He says, now the first thing that you must do is surrender yourself entirely to Christ and surrender your mind to his word. Lord, I won't act upon my own feelings, upon my own thoughts. I will only act upon your word. I'll have no control of my own thoughts concerning it. I will act upon your word now. Get that straight. I overdo. From how can I overcome, Brother Ram says, see, if the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it, I can do it. And he's just everywhere. And he can't do it. Neither can you. Neither can I. But if we just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him. Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. And I yield. You put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. That's the overcoming. The thing you have to overcome is yourself, your own ideas, your own things, and surrender yourself to him. He overcome for you. He knows the way, and we don't. Now, like that, he says, like a little baby, he says, you know, here I am. That's my little two-year-old granddaughter. She says, here I am. And then she puts her arms out, and Grandpa picks her up. Here I am, Grandpa, here I am. And then, it's, you know what that means? It means, here I am, I'm all yours. That's what we need to do. Be like little children. Here I am, Lord. Pick me up. From a certain sound, he says, is God's love and mercy measured out to you to take it? Don't cost you one thing. The only thing it costs you is just to surrender your life to him and receive it. How simple. Just forget all that you ever knew and just surrender yourself to him. And that's how it comes. It is just receiving it that way. Now, from Christianity versus Idolatry, Brother Brown says, we in his image, a living image of a living God. When you surrender yourself to God and God comes into you, what does it make you? A living image of God. There you go. So that is what we want to be by God's grace this morning. Just living a living image of a living God. Just like his firstborn son was. But we must die to self. We must surrender our heart and our minds to God and accept every word that he says. That's our guide. And that's our instruction for how to live and how to die. Now let me just say this. The more and more of Christ, his word, his Holy Spirit that's living in you, every circumstance you come across, immediately he'll point you to the scriptures. To how to handle that thing. So just get into the word. Pray, read over it. And don't do like most people, read it like a book or read like a newspaper. Read it one thought at a time. That's what we do with Brother Branham's sermon.
That's right.
It took us 368 sermons to go through the spoken word, his original seed. It took us, I think, 3.5 years. 368 sermons to go through just one of Brother Branham's. And I've had several others. It took us 245, this and that. Listen, we take one thought of the prophet and we take it right back to the scriptures. And we stay with that thought until we've exhausted the scriptures. So the people have a good Bible understanding of what the prophet said. Because many people say, well, the prophet said this, the prophet said that. Did he? Or in the way that you're saying it, did he?
Right. Amen.
If you can't line up like Billy Paul says, the hindsight with the front sight, you're going to miss the target every time.
Amen.
Amen. That's what Jesus did. The devil came and said, well, the Bible says, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus said, but it also says.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It also says.
Amen.
You see, we've got to have a balance in our life.
Come on.
The life and the doctrine will balance you.
Yeah.
Doctrine is okay, but not by itself.
Right.
And that's the problem I found with a lot of people. They go after doctrine, and they try to become some intellectual, and their life is pathetic.
That's right.
They've got other people, their life is wonderful, but they have no clue, and they're always up and down because they have no clue who they are.
There you go. Amen.
The doctrine is only a tool. It's only a tool to help you understand who you are in the family of God. That's it. It's a tool. It's not something to boast over. Paul says, what do you got to boast about? Hasn't everything been given to you? If it's by revelation, then what man can boast as if he's got some intellectual prowess to understand things? I'm so glad that Brother Brown didn't have more than 8th grade education. Hallelujah. But he had a heavenly one.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. John 5:19, Jesus says, let me go to John 12, verse 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, that's what I speak. Can we say the same thing? If you can say the same thing, you're being conformed to the image. You also said in John 5:19, the works the Father works and the Son worketh hitherto. Not my own ideas of what I think my Father might want me to do or say. No, that's not it at all. That would be our own mental reasoning. But he said, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. And from his sermon from that time, Brother Branham said, and she got down on her knees and I asked her to pray. And she prayed for a few moments. She looked over at me and she said, Brother Branham, I know that I'm going to make a new start.
Yeah, come on.
And I said, sis, it won't do you a bit of good.
Right.
You're only going to be exactly the same road that you've been over. And it won't work. You're going to go over and over again. And she said, well, I mean it in my heart. I said, well, I know you do, but the devil's stronger than any mental prowess that you can put on. That's the reason I don't believe in an intellectual religion. I believe a man's got to be born again of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be deeper than your thinking.
Yes.
It's got to be an experience.
Yes. Right.
You see, this is where I differ with some people who misunderstand what's in the church age book and what Brother Branham said when he said the evidence that you've received the Holy Ghost is that you believe the message for the hour. And I asked him, okay, now, just a minute. If you just stop there, you take it from an intellectual reasoning, and you throw out all the places where Brother Branham said, being born again is a mess.
Yeah.
There's got to be an experience. Listen, when Mary said, how can it be that I will receive this child, having known no man? And the word know is gnosko. It means not just a knowledge from the mental. It means an experiential knowledge.
Right.
And if you don't have an experience with Christ,
that's right.
You need to stay on your knees until
Amen.
You do.
Amen.
I had a young man years ago in my church. And this young man said, well, I've been raised in this message. And he said, and I've always believed that I'm royal seed, that I'm a son of God. And I said, brother, I don't care if you are royal seed or not royal seed. Until the seed has been quickened, it's still dead. And I said, until you get on your knees Amen. And don't get up, until you have definitely heard from God,
yeah.
I said, go out to the woods. You've got all these toys, all the boy toys, you know, the Jeeps and all this other stuff. I said, leave it all behind. Leave your cell phone, leave all this stuff behind, and get on your knees. Like Brother Brown talked about the man getting in the mud. He said,
yeah.
You know, he wasn't going to get up. He said, if you don't come and fill me with your spirit, he said, you'll come back and there'll be a bunch of pile of bones here.
Yeah.
You've got to be so sincere in your heart that you want it more than anything else. You've got, look, there's got to be a desperation. Brother Rand preached desperation after the token.
Amen.
And if there's not that desperation, I doubt very well that you'll receive that token.
That's right.
Because it interferes with your other schedule.
Amen.
That's right.
You see, God is not coming for people who think his message is just a new creed or something. And the doctrine of Christ is not theology to be argued over. No, not at all. The doctrine of Christ is a reality of your position in the family of God. The doctrine of Christ is to know it and understand it from the heart, and that it will bring forth the same life that was in the firstborn son. And you will see your own life become a reflection of his life, because God wants to live out your life for you in your own set of circumstances. God wants to manifest himself as a mechanic. So he'll find himself a mechanic that's open and willing to die to himself so that he can use that mechanic. God used a carpenter. He used a fisherman. He used a tax collector. He even used a Pharisee. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, that's a perfecting, that's a maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that's a building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now remember, there's only one Lord, one faith.
That's right.
Amen. See, I don't buy into this two Lord stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because there isn't two Lords, there's one Lord.
Amen.
And that Lord, look, the Bible says God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. How did God make him Lord? How did God make him Christ? God stepped into him. God, the eternal Spirit, stepped into that living flesh.
Yeah.
And God manifested himself through a yielded vessel called the Son of God.
Right.
You see? Not two Lords. One Lord. Expressed through a vessel.
Yeah.
All right. So he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And that's the, there's only one faith. Brother Branham said, faith of revelation. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? See, he's not God the Son. He's the Son of God. And you know what? Paul said, we read it as we opened. He's the eldest son in a vast family of brothers. And until you understand your relationship with the Father is to be the same as the Son of God, you have a different role to play. He had to play a lamb, bleeding, dying. He had to be your healer, your redeemer, everything else. But you know what? In a modicum sense, we are also healers. We are also redeemers. We are also, that's what your wounded warriors is all about. Or wounded Christians. Yeah, wounded blessed believers.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's what that's all about. It's being a healer.
Yeah.
Being a savior. Being a redeemer.
Yeah.
Being a Messiah.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what this message is about.
Yes, it is.
God came down himself with a shout. A message. And we had a yield vessel called William Branham. Who received that message. He went forth, and we call it the message. It became his message. But you know, God came with it.
Yeah.
And you know what? When that message resonates in here and reflects to your life,
amen.
It's now your message.
Right.
Not a different message.
No.
It's the same message. Jesus Christ is the same.
Yeah.
Yesterday, today, and forever. So he says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's a mature man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now you see, without the knowledge of the Son of God, without the revelation of Jesus Christ and our understanding of that relationship between Father and His firstborn Son, we could never know how to act as children. We would never grow up. And notice Paul says, that we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, by speaking the truth in love. Now I want you to notice the very next words here. That we may grow up into Him.
Yes.
You see that? Didn't say unto. Into Him. Into Him. You understand what that means? A perfect reflector. Of the image of the firstborn sons.
Amen.
In each son of God. That's why in the beginning we read the quote, Brother Brown said, God wants all sons to be the same. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are living so under our privilege, brothers and sisters. Say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart. Oh, I've been criticized by a lot of people for preaching John 14:12. But I believe John 14:12. And you know what? I don't believe that we're supposed to go around trying to muster up stuff.
Right.
But I believe the attitude of John 14:12
right.
is this.
Amen.
If my objectives and my motives are only to please my Father, and I'm willing to die out to myself, then if God wants to use me to lay on my side for 340 days like Ezekiel, or another 40 days after that, I can imagine all his preacher friends said, damn, that's the laziest preacher I ever met. He just lays around all the time. God told him to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't say anything about his wife, but I can imagine hearing that one, too. But sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Look, Job's wife, she gave him a hard time. But sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. David said, I'd rather be a doormat in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents with the wicked. Just seeking His will. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro,
yes,
by every slate of cunning craftiness by wherein men lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head. See, we're the body. He's the head. We gotta match. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by every joint which supplieth according to the effectual working, that's the energy of God, in every measure of every part. So it matters not what measure you have been given, the same measure of God will work in you in the same way.
Yes.
In the same nature, with the same results that it worked in the whole. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The same electricity that's turning the fans, come through the lights, come through the speaker system, the same energy. All it takes is a different vessel to manifest a different attribute. It's the same energy.
Amen.
And God has many different vessels. Some have gifts of music. Some have oratorical gifts where they can preach like angels. Others have gift of faith and gift of healing. And these are just things that God has placed in the body. But it's by one head we're directed.
Amen.
Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. The trial and the test that God gives to each of you are very unique to your own life experience. And God wants your vessel to reflect Himself through your circumstances. And it matters not who you are. My circumstances are different from my wife's circumstances. And hers are different from our daughters. And each of my daughters, they have their own set of circumstances because they have their own life circumstances. And they're all unique. And God wants us to live out our lives and show Himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter who you are, if you are a son or daughter of God, He wants to borrow your body. So just loan it to Him. Give it to Him. Just surrender yourself to Him, and that He might use your vessel to manifest His life through it. That is what life is all about. Look, I've taught my children since they could understand. Life is temporary. It's just a journey. It's a time of approval. It's a time of testing. Don't think that you're going to go and do whatever you want to do and not suffer the consequences from it.
That's right.
God has placed us here for a time that's eternal.
Yes, amen.
We're going through our Job experience in this life.
Yeah.
Where God is showing off His children to the world. Because it's the only Christ they'll ever see. And it's through you. Doesn't matter if you're a housewife. Doesn't matter if you're a mechanic or a farmer. Or whatever your trade is. God wants to express Himself in that field. In that person. As Brother Branham said in Los Angeles. He said, He wants to borrow my body. He said, I'll give it to Him, loan it to Him, whatever He can get out of it. That's what I want.
Amen.
We're not here to create our own, what's that word that the politicians are always talking about? They want a legacy. Uh-huh. Our legacy is Christ.
That's right.
That's it. It's Christ, the hope of glory. It's not seeing what you can do with this vessel, but allowing God to use it to see what He can do with your vessel. When I was in Africa traveling from Malawi to Choma, Zambia, we had a set of circumstances set upon us that we're not used to over here. First, we had a tire nearly come off when the brother, then he tried to tighten the lug nuts. He broke one, so he left four on that one. I began to look, there's only four on the other ones, too. You know, we just go down to Walmart and buy a lug nut if we need one. They can't do that. And we don't have issues like they have issues. Their dollar, our $1 was worth 5,000 of their dollars. Therefore, instead of being angry, we learn to accept whatever condition that we're in. And we try to make the best of it. Now, that doesn't make us any less tired, but it does give you peace. We do not realize how poor people are until you realize that having all your lug nuts is actually a luxury. Well, after the unloading of all 10 ministers in order to tighten this tire up, We got it fixed and we proceeded toward Choma, Zambia. And an hour later, the right tire blew out. So we pulled over, unloaded the ministers again, unloaded all our baggage, replaced the blown out tire with a spare and took off down the road again, avoiding all the potholes in the pavement so that the other tires wouldn't blow. A half hour later, the spare tire blew. And we sat by the road again, this time with no spare and no town visibly in sight, out in the middle of lion country. Well, being a little white boy from the States, we don't have to deal with lions. You have a lot of thoughts go through your mind. Finally, a passerby in a pickup truck stopped, and we loaded the spare tire and the blown-out tire into the back. And I and two other brothers hopped in because I was going to pay for it. And we got into town about maybe half hour drive. And the tire station was closed. There was a telephone number on it. So we called the man that was the owner, and he said, well, he didn't have a way there. So we rented a van, because the guy just dropped us off, the pickup truck, he dropped us off the tire and stuff. So we hired a taxi, went and picked up the man from his home, got him over, bought some tires, and finally we got on our way. Listen, God wants to see how you handle all the circumstances in your life. I could talk to any of these brothers that are overseas, and my encouragement to all of you, especially you young people who have never been anywhere, save every penny you can and do what you can to go visit some of the brethren overseas. Amen. I'll guarantee that, you know, I think America would be a different place if every child, before they would let them graduate, had to go spend 2 weeks in one of these third world countries. They would get off the plane, they'd hug the ground, they'd kiss the ground, they'd be so thankful for it. I don't have time to go into all the story. I mean, we'd be here for weeks. It's real. But when I go overseas and speak to brothers who live in such a different world than we live in, yet I see that God wants to live out through them no less than He lived out through His own Son. And let me tell you something. In Choma, we had 25 ministers there. They were from different places, but there's 8 pastors that had churches in Choma. And you know, after the meetings, those brothers told me, they said, you know, this is the first time we've ever had a convention of ministers where all the ministers came from this town. He said, in fact, in the past, he said, we'd go down the street, I'd be on this side of the street, another brother would be on this side of the street, come the same way, one of us would go across the street so we didn't have to even talk to that brother. You see, the message was just a marketplace. I mean, a marketing of souls. They got their group, they got their group. We don't want our group to talk with their group because maybe some of them might want to go over here or vice versa. So we'll just keep our market closed. And the churches were dead. And after spending a week going through the many, many sermons I preached on that relationship, these brothers were hugging and crying and everything else. You know what they did? I got a letter a month later. They got together, 8 churches got together, they held a joint convention. They had miracle after miracle after miracle because the brothers realized they were brothers.
Amen.
In the same family.
That's right. Amen.
Serving the same Father. I wish we could all be that way.
Amen.
Well, Psalm 37:23 says, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and He delights in His way. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord will direct his footsteps.
Yes,
and Proverbs 3, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. But I see the problem is today is that people want to dodge what God has for them. We do not accept that our set of circumstances means anything to God. I had a brother one time said, well, I said, brother, you know, have you prayed about it? You know, I really don't want to bother him. He's so busy with everybody else's problems. Can you imagine your children saying, well, you know, I'm trying to tie my shoe, but, you know, I don't want to bother Dad. He's so busy. I don't want to bother Mom. She's so busy. I'll figure it out. Well, like Brother Brown said, you'll be there a long time. You never get it figured out. Yeah, amen. But God wants to use your unique sort of trials.
Yes, amen.
To build His character in you. From his servant Balm of Gilead, Brother Branham said, you know, the new birth is what people want to dodge. They want to dodge the issue. So the devil patches it up and says, well, when you believe, that's when you're born again. That's not right. Now listen, any birth, as I said before, any birth is a mess. I don't care where it's at. If it's in a pig pen, it's a mess. A mess of pigs being born out there, it's a horrible thing. It was out there in the field, a calf being born, it's a horrible thing, it's a nasty mess. If it's out in a pink, decorated hospital room, it's still a mess, and the new birth is a mess.
Yeah, amen.
But you have to have that messy thing to bring forth new life.
Yes,
amen. And not your life, His life.
Yeah.
That's what's the matter with people today. See, the problem is that Jesus said, unless you hate yourself, you cannot be my disciple. And you say, oh, that's kind of, you know, in today's society, you know, that's a, oh, we got to teach them to be, what's the word they use? So if you say 2 + 2 = 5, it's okay because you try to figure it out. What do they call that? It's a common core, but, you know, it's like self-esteem.
Right, right.
Listen, I don't want to have self-esteem. I want to have His esteem.
Yeah.
I want to have His values.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
From turning northward, he said, these twin revivals, one brings forth a man that's supposed to be intellectual. Most have been schooled. They're trying to dodge that issue of the new birth. The church is just trying to dodge it. You see, the problem is, Brother Brown said, every revival produces twins. It'll produce an intellectual and it'll produce a true spiritual born-again person. And they'll sit in the same pews, they'll say the same words, they'll quote the same thing, they'll clap, they'll pray, they'll do everything the same. But one, their heart.
Yes.
Their heart is in that word. They can't get enough. They're hungry and thirsting for righteousness. And you know, if you hunger and thirst, you're going to be filled. He promised it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to skip through a little bit because we got... from souls in prison, Brother Branham said, I've told you the truth, and I've hated to do it. Not hating that I don't want to do what God tells me. I mean, not that I'm hating to do what God tells me to do, but I love you. I don't want to hurt you. So, what am I doing? But pure divine love will drive you to it. Jesus even prayed himself to dodge the cross.
Yeah.
You see? It is possible that the cup should pass, he says, but nevertheless, not my will. So don't feel bad if you're not looking with great expectation. As Brother Branham would talk about Brother Bosworth, he said, you know, he said, those are just wonderful times. You know, when the only food we had was cracking corn on the railroad tracks. But he said, but mind you, I never want to have to go through it again. You see?
Yeah.
But the character it built. Yeah. The man was beat with oars, oak oars. Just beaten, bloody, because he went to preach at a black church. In the South. Brother Vail knew him very well, and he told me, he said, Brother Bosworth, he gets so excited because he get a call to go. He stand there with a suitcase. He had no money to go, no money for the bus fare or for the train fare. But because God called him, he was expecting a miracle and he got it.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
That's the way you need to be.
Amen.
God promised in His Word
Amen.
That He had sons and daughters that would be conformed to the image of His firstborn Son. I'm expecting it.
Yeah.
Father, whatever it takes, just help me. Amen. Every day, listen, every day
Amen.
I wake up, I ask the Lord, I said, kill out Brian today.
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
I don't want people to see Brian. I want people to see Christ.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do too.
Yeah.
Because we have a vindicated prophet that did that. And look at what God did in that man's ministry.
Yeah.
How many people were led to Christ
Amen.
And fell in love with what they saw in that man?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, people are not attracted all over the world to Brother Branham because of miracles or because of the doctrine. They were attracted to the life that man
yeah.
had.
Yeah.
There was something about that man's life that people saw Christ.
Yeah.
Even who's the J.K. The guy that's still preaching is T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne said, when I saw that man, I saw Christ.
Amen.
I just hope and pray.
Amen.
When you see me,
yeah.
you'll see Christ.
Yeah.
When I see you,
yes. Amen.
I'll see Christ. From hiding God hiding himself to simplicity. When you surrender fully, he'll come in fully. But until you surrender, he can't come in fully. Surrender, surrender your thoughts, surrender your thinking, surrender your life. Surrender your all. Surrender your prestige. Surrender everything to him now. And he'll come in and fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's what he's here to do. We'll just read one more and we'll close. From paragraph 87 of the same, he said, All right, we notice then. See, the spoken word, then we are God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. How can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? And how can you use your thoughts and God manifest himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches or my creed says this or that, the days of miracles, you know, how are you going to do that and then be a manifested son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, well, I accept him as my Savior. No, you don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works proves what you are. And Jesus said the same thing. If you think that I am intellectually born, or they said, well, we're Abraham's seed and need nobody to teach us. He said, well, if you were Abraham's children, you'd know me. See? He said, which one of you condemns me of sin, unbelief? Show me one thing that God promised to me that ain't fulfilled. Show me one thing that the Father promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then.
Yeah.
That dehorn them. See, that dehorned them. See? Certainly said, who's accusing me? Who can condemn me of sin, which is unbelief? See? If I don't believe, then why is the Father doing through me like he's doing? Every word that he promised, now let me see where you go with yours. In fact, I can tell you and show you where Brother Branham said, if your church is not preaching John 14:12, he said, then don't believe it.
That's right.
Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe the works.
Yeah.
And they will tell you who I am.
Amen.
When you see a church of God that has so surrendered itself that they are always looking to live for others, then you have a church of the living God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for your word. Father, we know that your Son, even though his ministry was 3.5 years, your prophet's ministry 33 years, 10 times, and greater works were done in that prophet than even in your own Son Jesus. And yet it was the same life, the same nature, the same giving of self, the same trials and testings being overcome by your grace, your mercy. Help us, Father, to do what Jesus did. When in Gethsemane he said, Father, oh, yes, I do have a will, Father. I really don't want to go through this, but you know what? I'm surrendering myself to your will. And now, he died to himself, and then he went and died for us. Help us, Father, to take that upon our own life. Not that we can do it, but help us to empty out so you can do it for us. Help me, oh Lord, to die to myself, that others might see Christ living in me. That's what this message is about. And we ask, Father, that we would be that city on a hill, that we would be that candle that is not under a bushel basket. In Jesus' name we ask, that we might be conformed to the image of your firstborn Son, that we might be manifested as sons of God, that we might be placed positionally in your family in the lovely name of your obedient Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I would appreciate if you would also be praying for me in 2 hours from now. I'll be doing a little mission work over in Boise. There's a little Congolese church there, and they'll have a translator for me. They speak French mostly, And so it's a little mission within a mission, I guess, because I wasn't expecting to preach here. I was expecting to preach there. I just came out and to attend the funeral of my sister-in-law. See, if we just die to ourselves, God opens doors. And I love y'all. You know, I've got probably half of you family, I guess. Let me see how many family we got out there. Okay, that's quite a few. All right. And you're all family, really, because we have the same Father. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you, buddy.
Love you.
Enjoy the Word of God.
Amen.
We've got a lot of mission work around the country. As I said, we just want to have this offer and what we just have. But you know, it's good to be in the house of God, good to hear the Word of God. I hope people are going to give anything. Sometimes we come and get this, but my brother Brian said there are people that can give anything. They have the opportunity. Let's not take the things we have for granted. I don't even take, you know, you travel around sometimes and you just get somewhere you miss. I miss hearing the songs. Just hearing someone else encourage you in the Word of the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. That's why you come together to hear the Word of God. And it does something for a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, it don't do much. Actually, it irritates a little bit that it'd rather be in a basketball game or a football game, and that's all fine.
Come on,
Dan. You know, but it's that they go to cricket games where games.
Yeah.
All the time, I don't know if you've ever experienced one of these soccer games, and I'm talking about hundreds of thousands in stadium. And it's like a roar.
Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes when I'm overseas someplace and you got downstairs there are Koreans that are drinking and saying all night long karaoke.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing like a drunken Korean saying English karaoke.
Yep.
And they do it all night long.
Yeah.
I don't know how they keep drinking all night long. But they got nothing on the sweets. Sweets can drink for days. Now, I'm not talking about go get a little drink, but I'm talking about I have some sweet friends in some areas where that we go, there's like a little deals and they got the little bars. Hey! Oh, this is pretty good. Well, I'm over here one on the table. So I'm over now. I'll see them in the morning. They're drinking hard liquor. I come back at 10 o'clock at night. They're still drinking hard liquor. I get up in the morning at 5. They're still drinking hard liquor. They drink themselves sober. So they come and they keep drinking again.
Yeah.
They come up there for like 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and that's all they do.
The Russians are worse.
And then you'll see them in a year or two, and they'll bury it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I'm in funerals that I
see
in the church. Well, Jim drinks himself to death. Yep. Well, believers do the same thing. They drink themselves to death.
That's
exactly what they do. That's why he's not here.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drink
himself
right out of here.
Sure, Joe. Well, she drinks herself to death.
Yeah.
Before, she was doing something else. But she drank her, she said, you get some of this water, those are the same ones you've ever been intoxicated.
Yeah.
I tell you, a person gets so to the point of alcohol in their system that they can get up in the morning and get a big pill of water and they're drunk again. I'm not here with alcohol. But I do know about this. If you've ever been intoxicated with the Holy Spirit,
you can't wait.
You get your big drink up and this guy's all over again. Like it was on Pentecost, you know?
Yep, amen.
Well, we love the Lord. Again, thank you for me. We enjoy the things. Keep us in prayer. Next weekend, we got the dedication of a church in Phoenix, and we go to Mexico. And a group down there, my brother Alan was invited down to where we had been 20 years ago. We hadn't seen a lot of this group. My
Brother Alvin said they had about 1,000 down there that came together and things. I asked him, how was it? He said, it's good. They had a really good time. One time he said, but they all wanted, they had one thing they wanted. I said, what's that? When you're coming. When's all the brothers coming? I said, well, women need us. Well, I got a call, and they're begging us to come down to help them in that area. We were there 20 years ago, but a whole nother bodies grew up, they're out doing mission work, not worrying about. We don't get into all that fuss and church politics, whatever that is that they do out there. We're just not involved in that. We say, well, we just try to do our job. Then last week, you know, we were down in New Mexico. I had a big convention out there. We had representatives from Mexico, Colombia, Peru, Chile, all over. And once again, thanks to the actions and the attitude of the men, it just made lots more work for us. But we've been there for years, sometimes 20, 24 years ago. We were in there, and he said, Brother Fabio sat down with me and said, all right, here's the deal. And he's one of the guys that cut right through the fire. Here's the deal.